Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hello. Good morning, everybody. TGIF, glad to be here with you. It is Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester. We've got Max Power producing for us. We've got you over the air. 97.5, 1240 AM on KFH. We've got you on our video streams on 12 News Connected on Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can leave us comments there on the social media sites. You can also leave us voice messages. Had a great one yesterday. That's through the Odyssey app. So if you're listening to us on the app, you can also get in touch with the program. If you're at work listening and you can't call, you can still get in touch with the program. Just hit that little microphone and you can leave us voice messages. One of our favorite ways to communicate, honestly, on the show. We'll have a giveaway today from HTO. We have all kinds of good stuff as the Royals complete the sweep. They get through that 16-game stretch. We'll look back on the stretch that we looked at as a critical one early in the season. I'd say they passed with flying colors. NBA, NHL playoffs continue as well. And some NFL talk, I think, Tommy, is we get a little reaction to that George Pickens trade. I think it's interesting, not just from the Cowboys perspective, but like, what are the Steelers doing now? They still don't have a quarterback, really. And are they going to be capable of doing anything, quite frankly, to make some noise? So we'll get into all of it as we make our way through this day, this Friday, the day to end the week. How are you, Tom?
I'm good. Happy Friday. We've got a nice weekend in store. It sounds like nice day today. Beautiful weekend for Mother's Day. Happy early Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Looking forward to getting right into it.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to our wives, our mothers, everybody out there, all the women. We appreciate everything that you do. It does look like we've been blessed, honestly, with this weather. We got all the rain. It was a nice, steady rain over a few days. Now we get some sunshine to soak it in. We're headed toward the summer. In good fashion, Tommy, we're headed toward the summer. It's good golf weather.
Yeah.
We appreciate Crestview Country Club. You guys know that listen to this show is a great supporter of this show. I played 9 holes yesterday. So I'm out there on the South Course. Everything's looking great. Crestview's awesome. You bust out. You grab a cart. You get out there. For me, it's, I got an hour and a half. Let me go see if I can cram them in. So I'm out there playing at Crestview yesterday. First 4 holes here. And I never would bring this up, but I think people know that I'm not a great golfer, but I go bogey, par, bogey, bogey. So I'm 3 over through 4. And I'm like, what is this? And then the wheels fall. And then we get like, we spring a leak in the roof at the business. And so for like the next 5 holes, I'm on the phone in between shots trying to put, I was so mad. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm playing a charity tournament today with our buddy Brandon Zenner. Maybe it'll carry over into that. But that was as good a start to a round, Tommy, as I've had in a decade, probably.
Well, you just got to continue it through for an entire round at this point.
I can't when I'm on the phone in between, like screaming at people who did something that made us have a hole in our roof.
But yeah, I would love to get out and play golf this weekend. Let me ask you a question because you're married, obviously. I'm married. It's Mother's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And I bring up that term and I want to get your take on it. Mother's Day weekend. Apparently that's a thing. It's not just Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day weekend. I tried to, I asked the question, could I play golf on Saturday? And I got shot down very quickly. It was, it is Mother's Day weekend. I'm like, well, like Father's Day weekend isn't a thing. It's Father's Day. I get a day. I get one day. But apparently, no, it's a whole weekend.
Yeah, I think you know the answer to that question. My wife has a birthday month.
And that's a real thing, right? Like it's like, we'll be, I'll be thinking about stuff and I'm like, oh, what if we, you know, what if we did this in July? And she's like, July, that's my birthday month. I'm like, yeah, it is. It sure is.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. You're correct.
I apologize. How silly of me. I mean, it is what it is. You know, maybe if you took both your boys out with you, then it could constitute as a Mother's Day weekend win.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Might have to figure that out.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I don't know. Like, I asked Mara, like, what do you want? What do you? She's big into tennis right now at Crestview, so we figured out something tennis. I was like, let's do something like tennis. What, like, what could be good for your tennis? By the way, speaking of Crestview and Mother's Day, they have a huge Mother's Day brunch. We tell you guys about stuff that they do that's not just like golf or whatever. They have a massive spread. They have these events all the time. They have a Mother's Day brunch. It's very popular and delicious. They have great, you know, chefs and stuff out there that make those things awesome. Yeah, I think you're going to have to concede the weekend. I mean, you just...
Well, I already have. I mean, it's already done. I mean, it was shut down very quickly.
What's really going to throw you is as your boys get older, our kids are a little bit older, like it doesn't matter what weekend it is. It's filled up with stuff, right? I think there are two birthday parties for ours tonight. And then tomorrow we have a practice, a game, another birthday party, another game on Sunday. And I don't even remember all of it. There is no, like, the kids' activity calendar does not yield to any holiday. So take that while you can get it, because that's whew. And all, cause I'm playing this charity golf tournament today, all of today, which is a lot, is going to fall on my wife and Tom. It's Mother's Day weekend. You think I'm going to hear about that? Yes.
And it's not just, I mean, you know, a lot of these like charity tournaments that, I know great organizations all around town put on, a lot of times those are morning tournaments and uh-huh. You're done, you know, middle of the day. I know the one that you're playing in today, and it gets a little late. Like, it's kind of,
is this a big one? Like, I don't know what I'm getting into, but yeah, it feels like it's a big one.
It's a fairly big one. There are a good amount of alcoholic beverages that typically flow at a tournament like this. So I would just prepare yourself for it. It'll be fun. You'll have a really good time, but
till I get home.
Did you prep your wife on that? Like, it might be a little bit later of an evening.
The good news is I am another member of our team is one of her very best friends, one of our good family friends. So I'm hoping that might soften the blow just a little bit. Like, oh, I'm getting to see, you know, your friend. And like anything that would typically get me in some hot water, maybe I'll just like blame on her. Like I tried, but I did. I warned. I said, listen, I got to get out there early because there's all these activities for the kids at school today. It's like, I can't do any of it. Like, I got to get out there pretty soon after the show. And I was like, they don't have dinner scheduled till like 6 o'clock. Like, this is, I don't know what to say, except like, it's going to be late.
And tonight, it's a good dinner too. I mean, it's like, it's steak and, you know, they're firing up the grill and all of that. So, I would not, if I were you, skip out on that. I mean, maybe take your steak to go if you can and eat it like a caveman on the way to the activities.
Oh, here we go. It's going to be a day, but we love it. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. You guys deserve it. I know we have some great listeners and moms who listen to the show, and thanks for putting up with our shenanigans, as our wives do. And you know, our moms did as we're growing up. We appreciate everyone out there. You can get in touch with the program. We're going to start you off when we come back with some Royals talk, because that was about as good as it could have gone in a stretch of baseball, quite frankly, that they got to have. Like, when you're looking at the season, when you know what they're going to have to do to be competitive and reach the goals that, you know, some of us, myself included, a World Series appearance have set on them, they're going to have to do this kind of thing. And they've done it. And they get to keep playing at home here for a little bit. So we're going to look back at that. We'll look ahead at that schedule. It's all coming for you here as we open things up on Sports Daily. Stick around. We're coming right back.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up. We appreciate it. Tommy, you've got some swag to tell us about here today. It is a Friday fit.
Yeah, 3570 Golf Co. And they are a great partner of the show. We have a great relationship with Dan and Katie Winters, a locally owned golf apparel company. I'm wearing one of their fantastic hats today here on the Friday Fit. So if you're on our video stream, you can check that out. And everything, all the apparel that they sell that all embodies this part of the country, the heartland, getting out and playing golf. It's that time of year. So go online, check out all of their designs of their shirts, their hoodies, their head covers, their hats, all of the above, 35x70golfco.com. And if you use the promo code Tommy, you get 10% off your first order. So go online, check that out today, 35x70golfco.com.
There you go. Looking good. All right, let's talk Royals here and open things up a little bit. Winners again yesterday, the explosion in the series, I think we all kind of expected to come at some point comes. They win 10-0. Nice day up and down the lineup. Bobby Witt Jr., 4 hits. Mikel Garcia continues to just do incredible things. Salvi had a couple more hits, 3 RBI. Vinny had a couple of hits, Tommy, and an RBI. Raises the average a little bit. That's what we need to see as much as anything. Jonathan India continues to be really good lately. So the main bat, you know, your main contributors, that top five, we've kind of talked about forever now that Mikel Garcia has entered himself into it. We'll call it a top five. Is looking really good. The bottom of the lineup contributing. Drew Waters continues to be there. So I think you're narrowing down at minimum, you know, what the Royals are probably looking for. And it's probably like one outfielder. So you can do that and everybody's lifting it up. But it's the pitching, Tommy. I mean, come on. Chris Bubich was great again. I say great. He had 6 hits, but he was was a game that was being let during, if you watched the game and were listening to the call, it was like he really had to work through that outing. I mean, they were painting that as an outing. He really had to work through. He gave up 6 hits and 7 innings, not a run allowed, struck out 7. Like if that's working through one for Bubich this year, things are going to be pretty good, right? Like he was great. Again, they're all great. It's been incredible.
Yeah, you don't get anywhere close to 14 of your last 16 games winning them if you're not pitching the way that the Royals rotation has pitched throughout this entire stretch of baseball. They've had 6 shutouts in their last 13 games, which is just incredible, just insane that the pitching rotation has been able to do that. When you've got, you know, 6 shutouts over the course of an entire season, that seems pretty good. But basically half of their last 13 games, they have shut out their opponents is insane. They've got a 2.91 ERA, the pitching staff does as a whole. And that blows out of the water what the Royals' best single season ERA has been. Now there's a long way to go, obviously, for them to keep up that pace, but right now they are pacing significantly better than any other pitching staff in Royals team history. So, you know, we can talk about how the bats came alive yesterday, and that's really important and hopefully will carry on into this weekend and beyond, but you're right. It is 100% about the pitching.
Yeah, it needs to keep coming offensively, and the best case scenario for Kansas, like we talk about it a lot. The best case scenario is what they've got just does its thing, right? Like that's what you want to see more than anything else. I don't know that they're ever not going to have at least one hole in the lineup, but at that point, you're like, what are we even doing? Like it's when they're just not scoring any runs where you're like, okay, like this is weird. Like why aren't they? And now they're starting. I think they're starting to break out of that a little bit. We'll see. They're about to enter a part of the schedule where they'll play three series, nine games here, Tommy, against teams that entered yesterday at 500. So I don't want to say it's another like crazy difficult stretch, but it's not like the one they just played. So they'll be tested a little bit more here, and that's good. I tried to go back and look pitching wise, like when they went through that really rough stretch, when their schedule was brutal and all of these things, were they pitching well in that stretch? And I think that they were starting pitching wise. Of course, we know they didn't score any runs in that stretch, But I think the issue was the bullpen at that point, right? They had a lot of games where they would kind of get in that middle relief. Remember the sixth inning thing happening early in the season? And it was like they were the worst sixth inning team in baseball. They were just giving, they kept giving up, you know, runs and leads and everything else. Well, I almost think too, like we talk about the starting pitching, the way that they've been able now to settle that bullpen in, I think is almost as big a reason as to why they they're just putting their foot on the throat of teams, right? Like when you've got the kind of bullpen arms that they appear to have, and you can go for maybe even five deep. We know from the last World Series run and those teams what that kind of bullpen means to a team. I would argue that this bullpen is deeper than those bullpens were. I'm not going to say they were as good on the back end. I don't think they are, and I don't think that's fair either, but they're deeper. You know, they stretch it out a little bit further, and I think that has also as much to do with it as anything. They're just not allowing teams any hope late in games.
They're at a point right now, too, with their pitching where they can be uber strategic. And this was something that I don't think is going to get a lot of play because it's really not like an overly sexy piece of the pie for the Royals right now. But I do think it is really important. Chris Bubich talked after the game yesterday that it was really important for him going into that start to go deep into the game. He knew in his mind he wanted to go seven. And he wanted to shorten the game up in that regard for the bullpen because they knew that the stretch of baseball that they're getting ready to enter into is going to be more difficult than the one that they're coming out of. And so he felt like if he could go seven innings and do his part in the same way that Michael Wacha did in the game before and shorten things up a little bit and not put a whole bunch of pressure on the relievers, then that should help them be pretty close to full strength or as much as you can be when you don't have any days off in the bullpen going into a weekend series against the Red Sox when things start to get a little bit more difficult for you. So I think that's a really underrated piece of the pie and, you know, a piece of strategy right there that really shows me that the Royals are trying to be as cerebral as they possibly can be in this stretch of baseball. I love that. I love the fact that they're strategizing that and talking about that.
They are thinking and acting like a playoff team now. They've definitely got that swag. It's funny because that was such a big thing for the, you know, 2014 and 15 and even 16 teams. That 16 team obviously didn't get there, but they were that same way. And it's so interesting that this is a total, like there's no Salvador Perez, and maybe he's the tone setter on that. I don't know, but he's like the only guy, right? Like he's not the same. You know, you got a different manager, you've got a different general manager, you've got all different players, and maybe we need to give Salvador more credit for that. But they do have that. And yeah, I agree that they're thinking about that because the reality is they don't have a day off here until the 15th. They go six straight before they get a day off.
It's one thing, by the way, for Matt Quatrero to be strategizing that and the usage of the bullpen with no days off and going into a more difficult stretch. It's another thing for your starting pitcher in the finale of the series that against a team that is inferior to be strategic about that and be thinking about, okay, where are we going after this? And we're going to need our bullpen. I mean, that's such a team-oriented mindset and not something you're going to get in clubhouses all over Major League Baseball. That's what blew me away when I read those quotes.
Yeah, it's it makes a lot of sense. We'll see, though. This series against Boston, they get Crochet. It's Reagan's Crochet on Saturday at Kauffman Stadium. Are you kidding me? Reagan's Crochet. I mean, that's incredible. That's going to be awesome. I hope that's a sellout, and it might be when it's Boston. But you get that. Mother's Day, moms, they'll play in the afternoon. But we're going to find out here real quick because nine straight against 500 teams is different than the White Sox, the Orioles right now, Colorado, you know, a lot of these teams, and that's what they should do. And it's not everybody does this. You've got to beat up on the bad teams. And they did that over that 16 game stretch that we identified as this, like, you must take advantage because when you look up and down the schedule, there aren't a lot of these stretches in there. This might be the only one. I'd have to go back and look. But to have that many games against teams that are struggling right in a row, like you got to take advantage. Well, they won 14 out of 16 of those games. Like, you can't take any more advantage than that. So pass with flying colors. Now, how do you advance it to the next place? And that's where I think that psychology will be really good. You know, they're talking about that stuff. If Chris Bubich is saying it's important for us to get deep into the games because of what's coming up. And it is. He also said after the game that it's like next man up, right? They're feeding, those starters are feeding off of each other right now. Like, they don't want to be the one. Like, they're all trying to like keep it going to get it to, you know, to get it where it needs to be at the end of these games. So it's been great. It's been awesome. That series, you've got Lorenzen, you've got Reagans, you've got Lugo. Isn't it weird when you look at like the Royals rotation? The Royals are going to take a great rotation into every series they play because they don't have a weak spot in the rotation right now. That raises their floor so much. I mean, it like every team in baseball historically, you know, roll starters out there like that. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, even some of the best teams in history had a fourth or a fifth starter that you didn't really totally have a ton of faith in. And if they could steal one, great. But you went into it thinking like, okay, if we can just minimize the damage from this guy. I mean, even like, remember back, there have been several teams that have done this, but one team that comes to mind, I remember the Astros when they were, you know, rolling in their World Series appearances and all of that. I remember they even had like an opener in their rotation, like especially in the postseason. Like, they had a guy that they would throw out there for a couple of innings and then turn it over to the bullpen. It was a bullpen game a lot for, you know, that team. And other teams have been that way too. The Royals up and down, you've got five strong arms right now, and none of them are showing, you know, any cracks in the foundation. Is that going to continue the entire season? That's unrealistic. You're going to see somebody probably have an outing that's not good here and there. Like, that sort of thing is going to happen. But by and large, I mean, it's incredibly solid, and that should translate to the rest of the team, where they know every outing they should have a chance to win the ball game. And then it goes back to what we talked about before. It's put back on the shoulders of the offense to give the starter a lead. That's been critical in this stretch of baseball. Give the starter a lead and then let them go to work. That's how they've gotten to this point, and that's how they'll continue.
And it's going to be the way, you know, and injuries are going to play a factor in this at some point, right? That's the crappy part, is that we're going to have to deal with injuries at some point. And they've built, that's what I feel confident in, though, is the depth of all of this. Like, if you just feel like they're in a good place to deal with that. I just saw this, and this is interesting. As we're talking baseball, we're talking the Royals. John Morosi put out a tweet here. The Orioles have the third lowest chance of making the playoffs among all the American League teams. I think a part of that is the division that they'll play in. The Orioles, of course, are part of this hot streak for the Royals. And he's saying that there is a decent chance they become deadline sellers, which is wild to think about. But because of the hole they've dug themselves in and the division that they play in, he calls it, the notion that they could be deadline sellers is very, is a realistic scenario. Now you're talking about teams getting in the mix, as we're talking about the Royals and them trying to load up and potentially try to win a World Series this year. That's a really interesting team to let's just file them away. They've got some young players where, to a great listener who brought up the, you know, the log jam at first base dilemma that the Royals face right now, that's an interesting team because they've got a lot of good young players. The Royals, who in the offseason made an old-fashioned player for player, like contributor for contributor, Jonathan India for Brady Singer. They're both good players. They just fit needs for each team a little better. All that. Boy, Baltimore has a lot of guys. Think about a name like Colton Cowser, Tommy, young guy, corner, you know, can play a corner outfield spot that has, you know, similar like OPS to Vinny Pasquantino. Just like, keep them in mind, because that's a team that actually has a ton of tradable parts if they decide to go that route.
You could look at somebody like Kjerstad as, you know, potentially maybe being on the block. He's a young guy. I doubt they would trade Cedric Mullins, but you never know. I mean, if they're in full blown, you know, selling mode, that's probably unrealistic. But they've got a lot. One thing the Orioles do have, they have a lot of outfielders, and that's a clear deficiency for the Royals. So, you know, I know those two organizations don't particularly care for each other. And so sometimes that can, yeah, that can maybe prohibit a trade, you know, happening, but you never know. I mean, like, especially if they can't not turn things around, I still think that they will. I think they've got enough young talent where I think that they will enough to not be sellers. Yeah. I don't know if they're, you know, going to the postseason or anything, but I think if they, I do think they've got enough firepower on that roster where they may not end up selling. But hey, if things continue going the direction that they have been, anything is possible.
Shout out, by the way, you mentioned Heston Kerstad. Shout out to the Texas Panhandle. I covered his older brother in high school. I wasn't there for Heston's rise, but his older brother his older brother was also a really good baseball player, as you could imagine. It's interesting that you brought his name up. Yeah, they've got some guys. We'll file that one away. We'll file that one away for later. But as part of the conversation we've been having is what could happen, what could make sense, what could, you know, what could be on the radar. But right now you can just kind of kick back and say 14 out of 16. What are you going to do?
Right? 15 out of 17. I mean, I keep going back. They had that finale in that bad road trip. So.
And it'll be, look, I'm also excited for them to hit a beefier part of the schedule now. Like, put it to the test, right? Put this to the test against some better teams here. Now, they get these first three at home against Boston. That's good news, right? That's a nice way to dip your toe into the water. And again, we'll point this out because it's been an important thing so far this year to look at what's coming on the schedule, right? Once it gets June, up until probably the trade deadline, well, there's not a lot of relief there. For the June particularly is rough. They end May with Detroit, Tommy. They go on the road to St. Louis in that stretch. They play the Yankees. They play the A's. They go to Texas. They go to San Diego. And they go. They get the Dodgers in that stretch. Seattle is at the end of June. At Seattle, I should say. Like, June looks daunting. So win as many here as you can in May while you have the schedule in your favor.
Yeah, don't you feel like that, you know, they've kind of – they've been able to get out of their own way a little bit, especially during this palate cleansing homestand and just the stretch of games that they just finished, to where I feel a little bit more confident in their abilities going into series like what they're getting ready to go into against Boston. So while the schedule may be more daunting, this team is playing significantly better. And I believe, and this may be an area where you and I maybe differ a little bit, I don't feel like the reason that they're playing better is just simply because they played bad teams. They beat up on bad teams.
No, I don't think
I feel like they've all. I think they've rounded into form.
They
did what they've needed to do against those bad teams, but I don't think it's like they play good against these bad teams and then they just go get shellacked against the real contenders. I don't believe that at all. I think they have rounded into form, especially pitching. And it's just going to be a matter of consistency with the lineup. And if those two things continue the way that we've seen, I feel good about it.
Do I think the schedule has contributed to being able to go 14 and
probably
two?
It's a contributing factor for
But I also think they're not, when they went through the bad stretch, everybody but Bobby Witt Jr. and Mikel Garcia were slumping, you know, to start the year, like literally all of them. That's also not happening now. Tommy, this is trade here between the Steelers and the Cowboys. George Pickens is a Cowboy now, and he's saying all the right things from what I can tell. But, you know, he was obviously given lots of opportunities to trash the Steelers as he was introduced to the Cowboys media, and it didn't always go well there. And, you know, I think a lot of people point out early, like, oh, there's a troubled player going to a place that always seems to be full of drama and trouble. But test one, and he did a really nice job. He didn't say anything ultra negative. He's just kind of like, turn the page, everything's gonna be good. So that's a good sign. I think if you're a Cowboys fan, that could have gone much worse and it didn't. So maybe he has learned a little bit in his time in the NFL.
We'll see how things go though when the heat of the battle, you know, gets turned up and when we're actually in games and things like that, and you know, emotions run high. And you know, if the situation happens where he's not getting the targets that he feels like he should get from Dak, or the Cowboys are losing games, or he feels like he's getting outshined, whatever that word is, outshined, whatever it is, by CeeDee Lamb, if CeeDee Lamb is outshining him, we'll see if George Pickens can still say all the right things. I mean, you can win the press conference. That's pretty easy to do for the most part, but we'll see what actually happens when we get into games.
Yeah, agree. I think stylistically, and we'll talk to, you know, Felix Johnson about this because I know he has thoughts on it. I think stylistically, it's the question, right? Like, how does it all fit together? He's a star. Like, George Pickens is awesome. A big part of his awesomeness is contested catches and deep balls and things like that. Dak, I mean, go back historically. I can't think of a receiver like that that has been Dak's bread and butter, right? Dak is not that guy. So how does Pickens, and I think the problem for Pickens is, and the unfair thing is, that's really all he's been able to do in Pittsburgh because they haven't ever had any real good quarterbacks. I mean, Russell Wilson was the best he had, and it went well a lot of the time. But the thing that Russell Wilson did was that. So it's like, okay, he's never really had a chance to just do everything because he hasn't had a quarterback that's been capable of getting him the ball. Dak Prescott's a really good quarterback. Like a really good quarterback. He's good enough to win a Super Bowl, you know, that whole conversation. I don't know, but he's a really good quarterback that can put up numbers. I think it's a really smart move by Dallas. I think it's probably going to work. There aren't many wide receivers in the league where George Pickens could walk in the room and say, all right, that's the dude. CeeDee Lamb's one of those guys in any locker room he's in. There's maybe four or five of them in the NFL. He's one of them. So I actually am pretty optimistic about it. I'm just curious to see stylistically what it does. Does it put Dallas over the edge? I don't know. But they finally made a big move when they talk a big game. So as much as we trash that, I got to give them some credit for finally actually making a big move.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys needed to have somebody opposite of CeeDee Lamb, and we'll just see, you know, if George Pickens can be that guy. There is a laundry list, by the way, of Steelers receivers that when they left Pittsburgh to go to their next team did not pan out. And I'm sure that it's that way with a lot of teams, but I mean, it is a laundry list of top tier receivers that did not turn into anything else after they left Pittsburgh. Guys like Antonio Brown in the past, but even like more recent guys like Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, guys like that have not, you know, really done a whole lot. Juju Smith-Schuster is a name on that list as well, who he's probably had a decently productive career in the role that he's been in with Kansas City in two different stints. But as far as his overall production has declined since he left Pittsburgh, a lot of receivers are that way. When they have left the Steelers organization, they've not been overly productive at their next stop. We'll see if George Pickens can buck that trend or not, but it's going to be interesting because he's probably not going to be playing the same role that he played in Pittsburgh. And so I'm not sure that it's realistic to expect that he'll have the same kind of output that we saw him have with the Steelers.
And then there's the Steelers. And then there's the Steelers. What the hell are they doing? Like, what a weird offseason for them. This is a team that typically you can just pencil into the playoffs, right? That's what they do every year. It's all they do. They just go to the playoffs. Last year, was last year the first in Mike Tomlin, but they were right there? Can't remember. But they're always right there, right? They're kind of like the Cowboys, honestly. And then they just, you know, and then they just kind of mail it in a little bit here. They still don't have a quarterback. You're going to replace George Pickens now, maybe with Alan Lazard, if you get Aaron Rodgers. Like, they're not doing anything. They're not doing anything with any of this. And it begs the question as to why didn't they draft a quarterback? Like, you're not doing anything with this. You think Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard are going to put you over the hump instead of Russell Wilson and George Pickens? Like, come on.
Yeah, didn't the Jets already try that? Wasn't Alan Lazard on that Jets team with Aaron Rodgers?
Where he is now, I think.
Right.
I think he's still there.
I mean, I feel like the really difficult thing for the Steelers, and probably, I mean, they may look back on this offseason as a total disaster, because if Aaron Rodgers decides that he wants to drag this out even longer, and that's, I mean, nobody should be surprised by this whatsoever that he's been doing this. He's making the Steelers chase him. And Mike Tomlin is a pretty stubborn guy, as we've seen throughout the course of his time in Pittsburgh. And he's probably like, hey, we want you, Aaron, but we're not going to court you. We're not going to chase you. We're not going to, you know, fawn all over you and do all of that. at that point, like, we might be looking at some kind of stalemate here. And all that does is set the Steelers back, and it doesn't move them forward. And then they end up moving away from George Pickens, and they were able to get, I feel like a decent return for him. But you posed the question, why didn't they draft a quarterback? I posed the question after the trade was made, why didn't they trade Pickens before this year's draft? And then they could have strengthened their draft positions, and they could have made themselves stronger right away. To me, all signs are pointing to a rebuild. Yep. But that was not the mentality that I feel like everybody had about the Steelers until they made this trade. But it kind of makes some of these other things make sense.
It does. And that's like, Pittsburgh does not have a history of that, right? They don't have a history of firing coaches. They don't have a history of it, but all of this, like, I don't see any other path. Like, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers will play there. It won't work. There'll be drama involved. He and Mike Tomlin will probably butt heads. It'll be the end of Mike Tomlin's time, which a lot of Steelers fans want anyway. It'll be the end of Mike Tomlin's time in Pittsburgh. They'll bring somebody else in. Again, all of this, why didn't you draft a quarterback then?
Like, right.
You had a position to at least take a swing on somebody. You didn't even have to swing big. You didn't even have to do it in the first round.
And it could have very well been that they didn't like, you know, anybody right. that was on the board.
And I mean, get that as far remember, as like, first round quarterback.
For a while, Shedeur Sanders was connected and linked with the Steelers to an extent. Like, I know that they met a few different times. And of course, Sanders, we all know the saga with him in the draft. But right. I mean, there were quite a few quarterbacks after the fact. And you know what? Maybe they wanted to trade for picks for next year to then be able to maybe use those picks to move up in next year's draft. And maybe they like a quarterback in next year's class, which I know at least on paper looks to be a better quarterback class in the draft. So maybe that's their strategy overall. Like, they'll use Aaron Rodgers as a 1 year stopgap type thing and then find their quarterback of the future next year. And they wanted to load up on picks for next year to then be able to have a little bit more leverage. I mean, I could see that being the case too, but still, it's not like any of this has been vocalized or verbalized to anybody. Like, we're all guessing, like, well, what the hell are the Steelers doing right now?
Haven't we seen a little noise from TJ Watt? Like, a little, like, what are we doing here? I think this offseason, like, it's not going to work. And they just didn't feel like a team that needed to be in the position to do that. Like, this was a team, like, they've been a quarterback away for like 6 years. Right? Like, they've been right there. Like, what do you do? Do something at the position. Something. They tried Kenny Pickett. It's not like they didn't try through the draft. They did. Didn't work. Try again. Like, this was a year, even if you don't love the quarterbacks, you could have gotten one of the top five guys, like, in the third round or whatever. Like, whatever. Just, like, you're not swinging big. You're just doing something. So, you know, we'll see. It's not going to work. The question then becomes, what happens with Mike Tomlin? I assume his time will be done. I think he'll immediately be hired somewhere else, and you'll have like Andy Reid version 2.0, right? Like, guys that just win a ton of games every year, coaches that just never have bad teams, don't go somewhere else and all of a sudden have bad teams. There's like no history of that in the NFL. It's Andy Reid. Like, Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin, so funny that they're in the same state. Like, they're the same to me. Philadelphia they were like, well, Andy Reid will never get it done and he'll never do this. And they ran him out of town. Same thing's happening with Tomlin and like all the rest of us, the rest of the league who've been through bad stuff. You're like, you guys are nuts. Like, you're crazy. If you're dissatisfied and try to run people out of town, like, wait until you get into purgatory in the NFL. Like, just wait. Talk to a Browns fan. You think Browns fans would like to have Mike Tomlin in there? You think Browns fans would like to be 9-7 every
year? Remember that
the
Browns get to play those guys twice a year. Like, they're intimately familiar with Mike Tomlin. Like,
what are we doing here? And this is an organization that, like, never makes mistakes, it doesn't feel like. And I feel like this has all been such a colossal mistake. They'd have been better off with, well, that's probably not fair. Rodgers is what he is. If Rodgers would have signed a long time ago, I'd have been like, okay. You know, he's got Pickens there. Like, he's got some. Now they trade away Pickens. Rodgers still isn't there. It's like that. No, it's not working.
Think that the Rodgers saga, like, this is, anybody could have predicted this a mile away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And it's just like, what kind of tolerance do you have? What kind of patience do you have?
What tolerance do you have for a league average 42-year-old quarterback?
Totally. Totally agree.
It'd be different if this was MVP Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I've been saying this for years. I mean, even during his Jets tenure, it's like, man, why does anybody put up with this crap? Like, this is so ridiculous and so stupid. And, you know, for a guy that is going to maybe at best give you average play, why is everybody bowing down to him? And it must have just been, I think, for Pittsburgh, a combination of a lack of excitement about any of the guys in the draft, and a pretty thin free agent class as well. And ultimately, this is the situation they found themselves in.
You did it to yourselves, and now you trade it. It's just whatever. It's not going to work. All right, we'll come back. We got another hour of Sports Daily. Don't go away. It's Albrecht and Caster. It's a Friday, TGIF. We're getting you ready for the weekend.